Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you here on blogtalkradio.com, the best hour radio show. We are traveling through the workbook lessons for A Course in Miracles. Today is January 31st, the last day of our first month this new decade, and we're going to be discussing Lesson 31. This is one of the foundation of it. They're all important, not taking anything away from any of them. And you'll notice that sometimes a lesson seems to run in a series, like two or three lessons that are tied together to make the same point, to help us get, you know, some foundational principles in place, some building blocks for the foundation of our thought system that we're learning here in A Course in Miracles. Today's lesson is one of my favorite lessons because it goes to the heart of the teaching of the world, and that the teaching of the world is upside down. It's a false teaching system. So let's take a good deep breath for just a moment, and we're going to just jump right in. Okay, so let's take a good deep breath. Lesson 31 today. I am not the victim of the world I see. Today's idea is the introduction to your declaration of release. Again, the idea should be applied to both the world you see without and the world you see within. In applying the idea, you'll use a form of practice which will be used more and more, with changes as indicated. Generally speaking, the form includes two aspects, one in which you apply the idea on a more sustained basis, and the other consisting of frequent applications of the idea throughout the day. Two longer periods of practice with the idea for today are needed, one in the morning and one at night. 3 to 5 minutes for each of them are recommended. During that time, look about you slowly while repeating the idea two or three times. I am not the victim of the world I see. Then close your eyes and apply the same idea to your inner world. You will escape from both together, for the inner is the cause of the outer. As you survey your inner world, merely let whatever thoughts cross your mind come into your awareness, each to be considered for a moment and then replaced by the next. Try not to establish any thought of hierarchy among them. Watch them come and go as dispassionately as possible. Do not dwell on anyone in particular, but try to let the stream move on evenly and calmly without any special investment on your part. As you sit and quietly watch your thoughts, repeat today's idea to yourself as often as you care to, but with no sense of hurry. I am not the victim of the world I see. In addition, repeat the idea for today as often as possible during the day. Remind yourself that you are making a declaration of independence in the name of your own freedom. And in your freedom lies the freedom of the world. See, the idea for today is a particularly useful one to use as a response to any form of temptation. It is a declaration that will not yield, It is a declaration that you will not yield to it and put yourself in bondage. So let's take a good deep breath as we consider today's lesson for just a moment in silence. I am not the victim of the world I see. As I read these lessons and consider them, I'm always brought to a point of gratitude. Because our true freedom is found in the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles. I mean true freedom from a world of worry, anxiety, depression, apathy, pride, anger, hatred, fear, guilt, shame. Yes, we have plenty of attributes that we can apply to the thoughts and the mood and the attitude, if you will, of us as humans when we see the world through the eyes of the ego mind, through the thought system of fear. It's a thought system that looks at everything as a threat because it's a thought system of fear. It looks at everything as some kind of a risk of being condemned, in other words, losing self-worth or losing self-esteem. Some kind of lack is present in almost every thought of the ego mind. And that's the foundational pinning of it, because even though it may not be top of mind awareness, we may not be conscious of it as we're looking around our day, and some things are good and some things are bad or whatever. In moment to moment, we can feel anxiety based on what might be happening out there in the job market, or out there in the stock market, or out there in our political environment, or out there, if you will, in our relational world with the people that we are have made commitments to in relationships. That could be within our family, our immediate family, and our extended family. In all of those experiences, in all of these worldly, quote-unquote, events, it absolutely appears that some things are good and some things are bad. But we're moving towards a new understanding. We're moving towards a new vision. We're moving towards having a thought system, a foundational thought system that we can rely on to help us to see that we have a choice in every now. We have a choice in every situation. We have a choice in every event, literally in every moment, to respond through the eyes of fear or to withhold a reaction. Catch our breath, literally. Take a good deep breath. Let's do that again right now. Because the truth is, God did not create victims. What God creates is perfect, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. That would be you. And the Holy Spirit holds your divinity in trust while we dabble with the thoughts of the ego thought system. This is a mind-watching practice, watching the stream of thoughts that cross our mind. So as we survey our inner world, merely let whatever thoughts cross your mind come into your awareness, each to be considered for a moment and then replaced by the next. In other words, no attachment. We don't run a story. We're literally watching, listening, without making judgments, without giving something a value of good or bad, fair or unfair, a threat or no threat. And it doesn't really matter what it is. Whatever those thoughts are, our job is to watch it. And I personally experience that when there is, quote unquote, some news, new information coming in, suddenly I bring all of the past into that event and I have some reaction to it that I'm not planning on having. I'm not, you know, it's almost immediate. It is said that within 1/10,000th of a second that the ego mind makes a judgment of whatever's going on as a reaction. And 1/10,000th of a second. And as soon as that energy, that thought, whatever that thought, however it might manifest as a thought in the stream of our mind, it carries a vibration. It's a thought of vibration. And our body resonates with it. So if you've ever noticed a guitar, as an example, that musicians play. They have a typical guitar. You notice it has a hole in the center of the front of the guitar, and the strings run across that hole, right? And when the musician plays the guitar, the body, the shape of the body of the guitar, is very important, because depending on that shape and how that's designed, it will resonate with the frequency of the strings when they're strummed or plucked on the guitar. And that amplifies the string's vibration. I mean, that's really what's going on. It amplifies the string's vibration. The body of the guitar amplifies that frequency. Our body is just like that, in the sense that when we hold a thought, it has a vibration. And if it is a thought of fear that we attach to and say, this thought has value, we are resonating now with that value. We're amplifying it, literally, and our body resonates with that vibration. Have you noticed? Can you feel the body contract when there's a thought of fear that you could be attacked, physically or otherwise, if somebody is threatening you with some emotional, beating you up as an example, or beating somebody else up that you care about emotionally, talking down to them or being rude to them or even yelling or screaming or whatever the case may be, we can feel it. We can feel our body amplifying and resonating with that vibration. Just like the guitar, body resonates and amplifies the vibration of the string when the string is strummed or plucked or whatever the musician's doing. Think about that for a second. If we hold the energy of a thought of being that we are vulnerable, that we could be attacked, or we're in a situation where we are at threat, we're holding a thought, the thought has a vibration, and I'm going to call it a low octave, a low vibration. It will pronounce itself to every cell in our body. Our DNA, another way that I want to suggest that we begin to look at our DNA, and we look at the trillions of the structures of our DNA, because they're one in every cell of the body. And it appears that our DNA, that each of those cells are separate and they're acting differently. But the truth is, our DNA, and this has been given to us by Spirit, so if I'm getting a little sidetracked here or sidebarred here, just forgive me. But the point is that our DNA literally acts in unison as one thing. In other words, every cell in our body is reacting exactly together. It's a little bit like when we see a school of fish and they all turn exactly at the same time. Or a swarm of birds. I don't know if you call it what do you call it? I know you call it a school of fish. I don't know what you call it when a flock of birds, I guess it would be a flock. But these huge flocks of sparrows or whatever they are, and we've got pictures of them, and there's so many of them, it's almost like they darken the sky, and they all dance and move together, and it looks like it's one thing that's moving around and taking different shape, but they're all like tied in and moving instantaneously together, like they're all part and of one thing that's getting the same information instantaneously, exactly at the same time. Kind of weird, right? So imagine, if you will, that huge flock of birds moving, and it's reacting to some vibration, whatever it might be, and all of the birds are sensing it exactly at the same time, that's the cells of your body. And so when you have a thought of fear, every cell in your body is reacting to that exactly at the same time, because your DNA, if you will, is in every cell, and your DNA acts as one. It's one thing. It's like one body, right? We could almost call it the body organ itself, the DNA. It all is tied together. And it's tied together not through physicalness, but through vibration that we can't
I don't even know that we can measure it. I'm sharing with you today what some of the teachings of late that are coming from Spirit, helping us to see ourselves in a new way, our bodies in a new way, our DNA and our relationship with our body in a new way. The point of the conversation is that we can feel and know that the body, in fact, does resonate with the vibration of our thoughts. And so if we're holding a thought of love and joy, we are relaxed. We can feel the tension releasing in our neck and our shoulders and our back. And we can smile. And, you know, when you're laughing, and by the way, you can't really be in joy and be in fear at the same time. They're two completely different states of mind. Interesting, yes? So when we are in the vibration of joy, we're in the vibration of love, unconditional love, these very high octaves, high energy levels, if you will, vibrational thoughts that resonate with our body as well. Our body literally regenerates. You see, the low octaves of thought, the low energy thoughts of fear are degenerative, and they literally attack our body. So when we're holding those thoughts, we literally attack our bodies. And our bodies are responding as if they are, you know, victimized by our thoughts. And in a sense, we are causing dis-ease in our bodies with our thoughts. And it manifests as dis-ease that's recognizable in physical form. And when we are holding thoughts of forgiveness, thoughts of love, thoughts of union with Spirit, then we're in the high octave. And the high octaves are life-generating, healing, and dis-ease becomes ease. Life begins to flourish. Our bodies begin to heal. The tension and the stress of the thoughts of fear begin to dissipate and become dispelled. If God did not create victims, and I assure you that is true, then I am not the victim of the world I see, because the world is a reflection of me. Your world is a reflection of you. And if we were to take a snapshot right now of wherever you may be and wherever I may be, let's just say that we were both in our respective homes right now, and we could take a snapshot of our room, wherever we might be, and we swap pictures. We would see two completely different environments, would we not? Well, of course we would. But I assure you that what's in your environment is resonating with you, or certainly resonating or in co-resonance, in alignment with your past thinking. And what's in my environment is in co-resonance with my past thinking, but it's all subject to change based on the thoughts that I hold today. If I hold thoughts of fear and I look at my bookshelf case, I'm going to see lots of things that are aligned in an energy of possibly being victimized and doing things to protect myself. I could invest my time in studying insurance, as an example, to protect myself from some future risk. Of course, absolutely. We might even say that, well, that's prudent. Well, I'm going to say that the ego would say that that's prudent, because the whole insurance industry is built on a prediction of some calamity that would occur sometime in the future, and we, as consumers of those services, are willing to pay a premium, right, to be protected for some future that doesn't exist. Doesn't exist right now, anyway. And we are literally holding a thought of attack about ourselves. Is that weird to say it that way? Well, yeah, it is kind of. We never think of, well, I'm attacking myself. by buying an insurance policy, but in essence, we are. Why? Because we're seeing ourselves in the future in some situation of calamity or dis-ease, malfunction or attack. And we are trying to protect ourselves. We are defending a future. So we're holding that vision and image of ourselves in some future event that's calamitous. And we're holding a thought of fear, are we not? I mean, it's pretty reasonable, isn't it? Can we see that? Okay, well, Brother T told me I should go, you know, cancel all my insurance policies, but I'm not telling you that. In fact, the industry is so pervasive that it's law. It is a law that we have to follow that says that I am required by law, if I'm going to drive an automobile in the United States of America in a certain state that I'm living in, I believe every state in the union now requires it, that I, by law, have to buy insurance. Okay, I can accept that because that's what's required. That's a mutually agreed upon definition of what we need to do to what? Protect ourselves from what? Each other. Where have we heard that before? That's the way the ego operates. Its whole strategy is to make us afraid of each other. And it's continued. It's continuously. We are continuously bombarded with thoughts, marketing material, social media, the regular media, the radio, television, whatever you want to say. Almost all of the commercials are playing on the element, the aspect of the ego mind of fear, that something needs to be protected, something needs to be secured, something needs to be fixed, and that we're at risk and we're buying some insurance. But when we're doing that, to even think about it, we're seeing ourselves at some point or some moment in the future, you know, being a victim of some circumstance. But I am not the victim of the world I see, because it reflects my thoughts. So while I'll agree to abide by the law and I'll buy my insurance if I'm going to drive my car, I don't have to go down the road being afraid that something's going to happen. I can say, you know what, I'll buy the insurance because I'm required to, because I'm operating out of integrity and I'm going to comply with what's required. But I don't have to hold a thought of attack. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to have that experience. Sincerely, I don't have to have an experience of an auto accident, because what we're pointing to here, my friends, is that there are no accidents. There is only, and this is really where it kind of gets a little intimidating, maybe, to consider this thought system that, you mean everything that happens is not an accident? There are no accidents? Well, that's too deep a conversation to have today. But we're going to be bringing that up and we're going to be talking about it. But let's just stay with where we are right now. Where we are right now is beginning to recognize in small ways, we don't have to make any giant leaps here. Let's start with some basic things, that today we're going to have some practice periods, right? And what we're going to do is have 3 to 5 minutes for each one. And we just want 2 longer practice periods. We're still only going to spend maybe 10 minutes out of our day today doing this, 5 minutes at a time. And this is, well, much like meditation, yes? So we take a good deep breath. Let's do that again now. Let's take a good deep breath and come to center. And so we can read this lesson again, read the instructions again, but basically we're going to spend about 5 minutes. Find a nice place where you can withdraw from the world if possible. And if you're at work today, you know, lunch break maybe, or a bathroom break, whatever the case may be, But to not be distracted by the outside world, to be in a place where you can at least watch your thoughts for 3 to 5 minutes. And just, you're just noticing the thoughts. And make an effort not to get hooked by a thought and start telling the story. It's like a, you know, it's almost like getting on a bus. Here's a thought, boom. And, it, you know, here comes a bus down the street and it's got a thought written on the side. And I'm going to get on this bus and I'm going to take a ride with this thought and I'm going to tell a story. Where's this thought taking me? No, it's really about sitting back for just a moment or two, 3 to 5 minutes, and watching the thoughts. I don't even have to label them. I don't have to do anything. I'm just watching the thoughts, not getting hooked, not developing a new story. So we're going to look about ourselves while slowly repeating the idea 2 or 3 times today. I am not the victim of the world I see. It poses no threat to me because God didn't create victims. I am as God created me to be. I am perfect in truth. I may not get my ego, small self, to accept that right now, but there is another part of me that already knows, capital K knows, that's the only truth. We're moving towards truth, but we can only do this at the cost of untruth. We can only grasp truth at the cost of the commitments that we've made to error. It doesn't make us wrong in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Spirit has and holds no judgment. That's the deal. In fact, that's the state of mind that we are moving to. Right? We are moving toward being and allowing ourselves to be the expression of spirit in form. And that expression of self in form, capital S self, there is no potential for fear to be expressed. There is no potential for us to accept that there is any possible risk of calamity whatsoever because we see the world as it truly is. It's reflecting the past. It's reflecting thoughts I've held. And I can completely sidestep it. I can completely negate that effect. I am the cause. I am not the victim of the world. I am not. The victim of the world. I am as God created me to be. It's a powerful lesson, my friends. And we are well on our way now. We have established a solid foundation in this first month. I love you. Stay the course, and I'll return tomorrow. God bless.
Forgive us our illusions, Father. And help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens and in